UMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Pre-recorded.
Thank you, Digital Henry. Good morning. It's the 30th of June, 2021. My name is Arthur, and this is the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm going to start the show with Gangbusters. I played on the 21st of April, I played Counterspy. The show that was created by Phillips Lord. He also was responsible for Gangbusters. Originally it was G-Men, then he had some conflicts with J. Edgar Hoover, so they switched it to Gangbusters. But this is New York's Safe and Lock Squad with an original air date of the 26th of December, 1941. Thanks.
And now, Gangbusters! Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States. The only national program that brings you authentic police case histories.
And now to Gangbusters and facts that show the operation of our law enforcement officials in their war against the underworld. Gangbusters has asked John J. Sullivan, former Deputy Police Commissioner and Chief of Detectives, New York City, to narrate by proxy tonight's case.
The inside facts in the case of the three safecrackers.
Chief Sullivan, I know the case you're going to tell our Gangbusters listeners about tonight will furnish unusual proof of the work of one of the country's most colorful teams of detectives, New York City's Safe and Loft Squad.
It will, Don Gardner, if you and your listeners will bear two facts in mind. First, in burglary cases, it's extremely difficult for the police to get evidence for conviction. And second, the surest way is to know what's going to happen before it does happen.
Before it happens?
Yes, Don. I'll show you one way it was done. This case began on a bleak, overcast day last January at the huge Calvary Cemetery on Long Island. A lone man kneeled at one of the graves, unmindful of the young priest a few feet away.
It's been a long time, Pete, but I haven't gone back on you. I want to be all you were. If you don't mind, more. I always looked up to you, Pete, and I still respect you. I've got the same kind of ideas you had. Oh. Well, hello, Father.
Can I assist you in your prayers, my son?
No, thanks, Father. It's not what you'd call prayers. Besides, I was just leaving. Bye, Father.
Goodbye, my son.
Thanks, anyway. Next time, maybe.
Well. Hello, Father.
Oh, Captain Hansen.
Shh. Are you policemen always hiding in the trees?
Not always, Father. Sometimes we come out in the open.
Are you here on business?
No. I came out to visit the grave of an old friend.
But,
Maybe it'll develop into business, Father.
You mean that miner I just spoke with?
Yes. Strange seeing him here. I thought he was in Sing Sing.
Oh? And what makes you think that man should be in Sing Sing?
Because, Father, I sent him there.
Uh-huh. Well, if he's been released, no doubt he'll lead a good life.
I wouldn't count on it, Father.
You won't torment this man now because he came to the cemetery.
Oh, of course not. I'm just going to see at whose grave Freddy Russo came so far to pray.
Business?
Just curiosity.
Curiosity seems to be the main fault of policemen.
Also, Father, the main virtue.
Your man Russo is going out the gate.
Now, that's all right, Father. If I want him, I can find him again.
Yes, I suppose you can. But here's the grave of his friend. Is your curiosity satisfied?
No, Father. Now, I'm more curious.
More curious? At the sight of this grave of a man 10 years dead. Why, Captain.
This is the grave of Big Pete Schneider, Father.
Indeed.
He died in Sing Sing. He was one of the most troublesome safecrackers I can remember.
And, he's still troublesome, Captain?
Yes, very troublesome. Big Pete Schneider had a twisted pride in his trade. He enjoyed passing his skill on to others. One of his pupils was Fred Russo.
Uh-huh.
And if Fred Russo came to the grave of his master for inspiration, he must be up to something.
I see. Well, give my best to the boys at headquarters.
I will, Father. And goodbye. Vera. Vera.
Your dinner's on the kitchen table. Go eat it.
What's the matter? Can't you get your nose out of that magazine and give me dinner?
You get here on time and I'll eat with you. If you come late, you help yourself. Where you been?
Busy.
You didn't go to work today.
I don't want you spying on me, Vera.
Who has to spy on you? I can tell by the look on your push you didn't go to work.
Okay, I was out in Long Island seeing an old friend.
Now listen to me, Fred. You stay out of trouble.
Will you lay off?
You'll be heading back up to Sing Sing. It's all right for you. They give you 3 meals a day up there, but what am I supposed to do? Go out scrubbing floors or something?
I told you to lay off.
Now that you're out, you ought to have sense enough to stay out. Big dreams you got. Always big dreams. You got a good job. You're making good money. Play it straight. You might like it.
What do you care where the dough comes from, as long as it's dough?
Come on, I'll give you something.
Wait a minute.
What?
I was out to see Big Pete.
Oh, so that's where...
Yeah.
Well, he's been dead for 10 years. Let him stay dead. He never did you any good. He never did anybody any good. Not even himself.
He left a lot behind, Vera.
Trouble, that's all. Just trouble.
No ideas. They're right up here. Big Pete powdered them into my head one by one. There was an operator.
Yeah, and what did it get him? A Sing Sing funeral. And that's the same thing it'll get you.
It's gonna get me $1 million.
All right, Fred, all right. I'm sick of arguing with you. If you want to go back, go ahead. I don't care.
I'm not going back any place. I'm lining up a couple of guys. I'm going to teach him what Big Pete taught me.
Just leave me out of it. That's...
Okay. Just ask me for something when the dough starts rolling.
I won't ask you for nothing. Yeah. Yeah, I will ask you for something. Go get yourself killed. Then I can blow my head off and forget about you. That's what I ask you for. Come on in the kitchen.
Oh, baby.
I wish I could feed your brain and steady your belly.
Safe and loft squad, Captain Hanson.
Detective Clark, Captain.
Well?
The parole commission records show that Frederick Russo was released from Sing Sing October 1st after serving 11 years and 4 months.
Hmm. Is he still reporting to the parole officer?
Yes, Captain. Once a month. He's been regular.
He would be. What's his address?
450 East 21st.
Yeah. East 21st. All right, Clark, come on back to the office.
Okay.
Sergeant Ryan.
Yes, Captain.
Come in here a minute.
Sure thing, Captain.
Clark got an address on Russo.
Oh, good.
Yeah, from the parole commission. Sit down. I don't know, Sergeant. Russo might be going square. But what was he doing out visiting Big Pete's grave? Maybe looking to knock the knobs off some more safes. And if that's so, he can't do it alone. Now, I want you to find out who he's got and what they're up to.
Yes, sir.
You've got yourself, Clark, Sanders, Burns, and Garnett. I want somebody on Russo every minute until we find out what's going through his mind. You got it?
We won't let him out of our sight, Captain.
Wait till Clark comes in, Sergeant, and then get going.
Okay.
And remember one thing. I want them caught in the act. No other way.
Hello,
Come on, Fred. Take me home, will you?
Will you sit still, Vera? I told you, I gotta meet somebody.
Anybody you gotta meet in this joint ain't worth meeting. Now, let's get out of here.
Go ahead, Vera. Go home if you want. I'm gonna stick here.
You gotta get up early tomorrow.
Early for what? If you're so worried, I'll put you in a... Oh, there they are.
Look, Fred, don't get into nothing, will you?
Go on home. I gotta see these guys.
Listen to me, will you?
So long. I'll see you later.
Excuse me.
What? Oh, yeah. Okay. Hello, guys.
Hiya, Russo. Sit down.
Well?
I'll buy you a deal, Russo.
Okay.
But you still got to sell Laviola here.
What's the matter with him?
Nothing. Except I'm for sticking to my own knitting. You've been shooting off what an easy touch these safe jobs are. Well, that's something new to me. The way I hear, a safe job is the hardest trick to turn.
You just listen to me and we'll do all right.
What's the matter? I'm not doing all right now.
Wake up, will you, Laviola? What you call all right is buttons.
Okay, so it's buttons. But all them buttons are mine. They don't get cut three ways.
What are you worrying about a three-way spiffer? This is big dough. More than you ever heard of.
Tell me, Russo. What makes you such an expert?
Did you ever hear of Big Pete Schneider?
Yeah, I heard of him. What are you, his first cousin?
Will you listen, Laviola? This is a good pitch.
Okay, Russo. What about Big Pete?
He was my professor in college. Everything he knew, I know. And I'll teach you what Big Pete taught me.
Tell me, did he teach you how to stay clear of the safe and love squad?
Yeah, that was the first lesson. Case the job good. Take nothing but cash. And they can't lay a hand on you.
Yeah, unless they catch you red hot right on the job.
Well, I was looking to be jumped up in the act. That's an accident.
Yeah. Have you got anything lined up?
It's only Vera.
I'm going home, Fred. You coming?
You stop talking about it and go ahead. I'll see you later.
Now, listen here. Oh, good night.
Yeah, nice dish there, Russo.
Talks too much.
You ever know one at that?
Let's get back to business, will you?
Yeah, what do you got lined up?
A loaded store, plus a couple of factories in the garment district.
And what do you count on taking out?
Plenty.
Well, what's plenty?
What are you worrying about, Laviola? If Russo says there'll be plenty, that's okay. It's okay for me, anyways.
All right, Russo. I'm in.
Good. Glad to have you. Let's have a drink on it, huh? Waiter. Waiter. Over here, huh?
Russo sat there with the girl for a while, Captain.
Yeah?
Then these other two came in and took a booth. Joe Pelletieri and Frank Laviola.
Mm-hmm.
Russo left the booth and joined them. They're still talking.
Okay, Sergeant. This looks like the mob. When they leave, one of you get with each of them. And stay with them.
So, Don, even as the criminals were organizing, New York detectives of the Safe and Loft Squad were aware of their activities and laid their plans to capture them in the act. But unexpected developments upset the best laid plans.
Now back to Gangbusters. You were telling us, Chief Sullivan, how detectives of the New York City Police Department's Safe and Loft Squad had under surveillance a gang of criminals they knew were planning a series of large safe burglaries.
That's right, Don. And the assigned detectives, working in teams, trailed their suspects around the clock. Days went by, however, and the criminals failed to make a move. Then one night, Sergeant Ryan and Detective Clark followed Russo and one of his confederates, Joe, into a Bowery dive and watched them as they stood at the bar.
What do you say, Clark? Shall we get up close to him?
They're liable to make us, Sergeant.
Come on. It's worth a chance if we can overhear him.
Okay.
Get around on that side of him.
Right.
The guy's got to listen to me, Joe. I know what I'm doing.
Roving here, fella.
What? Yeah, plenty.
We have a glass of beer.
Another.
You can't blame him, Russo. He's getting the edge. So am I. He's been waiting long enough. Okay, we're ready to go.
What?
In a couple of days.
Well, that's more like it.
First, we need a few things.
For instance, what?
Well, there's stuff on this list here.
Hey, that's a lot of hardware.
We gotta get it.
Where's that beer?
We split the list up. Buy the stuff in hardware stores. One item in each store. Now, let's go find Laviola.
I think I know where he is.
Drop some change in the bar, will you?
Yeah.
Come on. Now, we get this stuff together. Let the three of us go out and take a look.
Did you catch what they said, Sergeant?
Yeah, keep hot on them, Clark. I'm going to call Captain Hanson.
Hello?
Captain?
Yes?
Sergeant Ryan. I didn't wake you.
No. I just got in. What's up?
Clark and I caught part of a conversation between Russo and Joe. It's any day now.
Oh? What makes you so sure?
They're going out to buy burglar tools tomorrow. They're going to visit hardware stores.
Okay. Stay with them, Sergeant. I want enough evidence against those guys so they'll never get out. I want every... every storekeeper where they make a purchase to be able to identify whatever they bought without question.
Well, you want to buy that one?
I don't know.
Electric grills don't grow on trees, not yet. That and the other one you looked at are all I got.
Maybe it'll be okay.
It should be. It's guaranteed for all kinds of heavy duty.
You got plenty of bits?
Yeah, plenty. Make up your mind about the drill. I got to answer the phone.
Yeah.
Phone, customers, phone, all around this place all day long. Larry's Hardware. Hello.
Don't say anything, Larry. Sergeant Ryan, Safe and Loft Squad.
Oh, hello.
That guy in your store looking at the electric drill. Sell it to him.
Yeah, but...
Sell it to him, Larry, even if you got to cut the price.
Okay, if you say so, but, well, this business I don't understand.
Just be sure you can identify it later.
Okay.
And the guy, too. Make a note of the serial numbers.
Oh, yeah. But now I understand.
Okay, Larry. Be around to see you later.
Oh, come in, Sergeant.
Well, Captain, looks like tonight's the night. They got enough burglar tools to crack Fort Knox.
And you can trace them?
Right back to the stores where they bought them.
Good work. And what do you make it for tonight?
Well, they got two places all cased out.
Mm-hmm.
A clothing store at 26th and Broadway.
Yeah.
And the loft building on West 27th.
Which one do you think they'll try first?
It's a toss-up, Captain.
Well, I'd lay my money on the clothing store. They probably figure they'll have less trouble with the safe. And maybe get more cash.
Okay.
But keep the other place covered.
It will be.
I told you, Ryan, I want them hands down. And that's the way we're going to get them. The two of us are going to plant ourselves inside that clothing store and wait for them. We're giving the district attorney an open and shut case on this one.
Well, looks pretty good from where I'm sitting.
Now, let's not be too sure, Sergeant. This is a funny business. Anything can happen to queer the works.
Fred!
Yeah? What do you want?
Come in the kitchen a minute, will you? All these things.
Yeah? What do you want, Vera?
Open up this jar for me, will you?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, where are you going all dressed up?
Out.
Out? Supper's almost ready.
That's too bad. I'm eating with the boys. Here's your job.
I don't want you around those boys, Fred. They're nothing but trouble.
Who's living my life, me or you?
Well, you're not doing very well at it.
Look, baby, tonight's the big night. I'll eat with you tomorrow night.
You're not leaving this house.
So long.
I said you're not leaving.
Hey.
You're not leaving.
Put down that knife.
I'll kill you. I swear I will.
Cut it out now.
You're staying here.
You're looking for trouble, Vera.
I've had nothing but trouble since I first laid eyes on you.
Now, wait a minute, baby. Fun's fun. Put that knife down.
I'm going to put an end to my trouble right now.
Vera.
Right now.
You dirty little...
Let go. Let go of me, Fred.
You're trying to kill me, huh?
Fred. Stop. Fred.
I told you to lay off. Serves you right. So long.
What time is it, Captain?
11:15.
You think they're coming?
Who knows?
Certainly hope they don't try the loft building first, Captain. I want to be in on the car.
Don't worry, Sergeant. Oh. Yeah, they're working on the back door.
Yeah.
Come on. Quiet now.
I wonder if the men outside spotted them.
I'm sure they did. We'll wait till they get inside and start working on the safe. Then we'll nab them.
Right.
Come on. A little closer.
Careful.
Work on it, guys. Work on it.
You were trying.
This is the first time I wanted burglars to get into a building.
Quiet.
This door won't budge, Lucy.
It's got to. Give it all you got. Come on. Get it. All right, again. Again. Okay. Hold it. Oh, leave it, Lay. Let's get out of here.
Hey, but
we can't crash the door. Let's go. Get the stuff together.
What do you say, Captain? Shall I give the signal to grab
him? No, let him go. I want more than an attempt charge against these guys. We'll get them on their next one.
Now, back to Gangbusters.
Russo, Big Pete Schneider would sure be ashamed of you now.
I would expect a burglar-proof door.
Anybody but Russo.
Lay off, will you, Laviola?
Big Pete must be turning
That's
over.
That's enough. Take her right here, Joe.
Yeah, Russo.
We still got the loft building. We clean it out. We get 50 grand.
Yeah, if they got no burglar-proof doors.
Let me worry about that. Just do like I tell you.
Clark. They broke in the side door, Captain. Looks like they're on the third floor now.
Did they post any lookouts?
No, sir. We've got the whole block covered. Too bad you didn't get them down at the clothing store.
It doesn't make any difference, one place or the other.
Any orders, Captain?
Stick here and cover for us. They'll probably come out the way they went in. We'll get them as they walk out the door.
Yes, sir.
I'll be with Sergeant Ryan and the others.
So, Don, the safe and loft squad detectives had the 27th Street loft building surrounded. And they were waiting for the criminals to emerge by way of the door they had entered. Meanwhile, unaware of the carefully laid trap of the safe and loft squad detectives, the three burglars had completed their job and were about to leave the building.
Come on, come on. Pick up that stuff.
Yeah, so yeah.
You get it all. I don't want nothing laying around. Give the cops a break.
Yeah, I guess that's all of it. I'll carry the tin box.
You mind the tools, Laviola. I'll take care of the box. Get that Jimmy there.
Where?
There.
Oh, I can.
All right, come on. Drop it in the bag.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get out downstairs.
Hey, Laviola, didn't I tell you, huh? Didn't I tell you?
Oh, tell me again when we're home in bed.
Okay. Hold it here. Now, we'll get on the freight elevator and go out the way we came in.
I don't like that elevator this time of night.
What's the matter? We came up in it, didn't we?
I don't like it, that's all. Why can't we walk down? It's only three floors.
Because the fire doors and the stairs might be bugged, that's why. I don't want to hit any burglar alarms after we got this far. Get on that elevator.
Why do you have to argue so much, Laviola? Nothing's ever right for you.
Oh, shut up.
All right, Joe. Take it down.
Yeah. Here we go. Hey, Russo. What do you say we put the stuff away and go out and celebrate, huh?
Yeah, you guys celebrate if you want. I gotta go look in on Vera.
Yeah, what's the matter? Ain't she feeling good?
Got a pain in the jaw.
Here we are, straight floor.
Wait a minute.
What now?
Look, we can play it a lot safer.
What do you mean?
Joe, take the elevator to the top.
We're crying out loud.
We'll go up to the roof, over to the next building, and come down that way.
Yeah, but Russo, that means breaking through another couple of doors.
If you want anybody to run into us coming out of here. That's a lesson from Big Pete.
Don't be a dope. We're here on the ground floor. The street's 10 yards away. We walk right out. There's nothing to it.
Take her up to the top, Joe.
That silly boy.
You heard what I said?
Well, do it without me. I'm going out the way I came in. That's safe enough.
Yeah, Russo, there ain't no sense to it. Somebody could see us coming out of there, too.
Okay. Open up. We'll go out this way.
Sure. All clear.
Let's go.
Hey, grab some of this stuff, will you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, guys. Now, right out the door and walk away like you own the joint. No rushing, no running. Now, you got it?
Yeah.
Good. Hold it here. I'll take a look in the alley. Okay. Nice and dark. And all clear. Let's go.
Wait.
Head for the car.
Russo.
Hey, cops.
Get him up.
Yeah, okay.
Not me. So long.
Get him.
I got him, Captain.
No, you don't, cop.
Let's shoot.
All right, just keep him up.
Who squealed?
Nobody had to squeal, Russo. We've been right on top of you for 2 weeks. We could have nailed you any time, but we waited until we had you good. Now let's get moving.
So, Don, that was how one gang of burglars fared at the hands of the New York City Police Department's Safe and Loft Squad. They're all back in the penitentiary.
It was a real illustration of fine detective work, Chief Sullivan.
Yes, and I think the men of the New York City Safe and Loft Squad deserve congratulations for their mighty good job.
They certainly do, Chief Sullivan. And gangbusters, thanks to you for telling us this factual case history.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now, ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Thank you, lads, and thank you, Ad Council, for that FCC obligation. We heard Gangbusters, New York Safe and Lock Squad, well, that's the title, with an original air date of the 26th of December, 1941. Again, that was directed, produced, and written by Phillips Lord. Actually, I don't know if it was that late, because it originally aired in 1935 as G-Men, when he worked with J. Edgar Hoover. But they had a falling out, so they went from G-Men to Gangbusters thereafter. And everything I can find, I can't find, because there's not a lot of G-Men or early Gangbusters available. But again, I played Counterspy on the 21st of April. Thought that was a pretty decent show. That was also developed by Phillips Lord. For the second half of the program, we're going to go back out west with episode 5 of Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr. This is titled Boredom, with an original air date of the 19th of February, 1956. Elvis was yet to be a household name. He will be at the end of that year. My name is Arthur, and this is the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thanks for listening.
Starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
You man, at ease. I said at ease.
What's the cavalry gonna do to win glory today, Sergeant?
I'm glad you spoke up, Suthy. You and Private Plover there have just volunteered to make mud bricks for the new powder magazine building.
No, Sergeant. Me and Plover worked in that adobe all day yesterday.
Another month, you ought to be finished.
I didn't join this army to make mud bricks.
You refusing an order, Suthy?
Put your shoes on, Plover. Let's get going.
Now, the rest of you men will finish cleaning this barracks and fall out in 10 minutes.
I suppose you're taking them buffalo hunting, Sergeant.
Each man will go to supply and get a pick or a shovel. We're building a road today.
Building a road.
Now, that's enough. I said 10 minutes. You line up smiling and happy, or I'll work you all night.
Got your shoes on, Plover?
Well, sure. What I need shoes for? I'll be on my hands and knees most of the time.
Ain't it a shame, men like us doing that kind of work?
Yeah. I'm ready, Suthy.
Then let's go.
10 minutes, soldiers, and don't forget them shovels.
I reckon any outfit's got to do some time in garrison, Suthy.
We've been in garrison 3 months. It's got me talking to myself.
Well, leastwise, we ain't getting shot at by no wild Indians.
What's the cavalry for if it ain't to get shot at and to do a little shooting itself?
All the Indians around here is peaceable. Leastwise, it has been the last few months.
Reservation Indians. Them Cheyenne ought to be ashamed of themselves. Sitting around watching the women do the work, waiting to be fed by the government. Where's the gumption, anyway?
Well, good thing they is peaceable, I think. Them Indians go on a tear makes it bad for everybody.
They go on a tear, it'd get us out of the garrison.
Well, they ain't going, so you just might as well face up to it.
I could make them go, Clover.
Oh, now, stop that talk.
I've told you how I could make them go.
Now, looky here, Suthy, I ain't even gonna listen to you. Why, you could be shot for just what you're thinking.
Nobody'd ever know.
You know you're crazy. Being stuck here in a fort so long has driven you plumb crazy.
Your mouth's getting awful big, Clover.
Oh, now, don't get on the prod. Looky here, I tell you what. Tonight, you and me are going to sneak off the post, and we'll go into town and have us a drink with that gal you like. That Ella Braden. How about that, Susan?
Never you mind Ella Braden. You called me crazy.
Oh, I didn't mean nothing by
it. I ain't crazy, and I'll prove it to you.
You put that knife away, Suthy.
You got a knife. Get it out.
No.
Get it out, I said. I'm going to cut you, Clover. I'll do it.
All right, that's how you want it. Now, there's my knife. Now, you cut me, Suthy. Come on, now, cut me.
I'll lay your whole face open, soldier.
Hold it, you men.
Lieutenant Syberts, you don't mean nothing to me.
Cap, quits with him, Suthy.
Watch your face!
I'll rip your belly open, you try that again!
Stop that man. Put those knives away.
It's a fair fight. You got no right to stop
it. Do as I say, Suthy.
You cut me, I'll put mine away.
I can't quit less than he does.
All right, Suthy. You too, Plover. I know you're on edge being in garrison so long, but that's part of soldiering. And so is keeping your temper. Now put those knives away before we all get in trouble.
Well, there's mine. All right, you hear the captain, Suthy.
There's mine.
You men on detail?
Making mud pies again, Captain.
Then get to it. If there's any more fighting, you'll go to the guardhouse. That clear?
Yes, sir.
Move
yes,
out.
Yes, sir.
Those men are crazy enough to have stuck you, Captain, getting between them that way.
One of them might have stuck me, Mr. Syberts, not both of them.
They need action, Captain. They're soldiers, not laborers.
Yeah, they're even forgetting to think like soldiers. There's going to be more trouble like this, Mr. Syberts. A lot more. Captain Quince reporting, sir.
At ease, Captain. How's B Company getting along?
Well, Major Daggett, I guess B Company's getting along about the way you'd expect.
Like those two men of yours last week who were going at each other with knives?
I didn't know you'd heard about that, Major.
I heard about it. I also heard how you failed to punish them.
With all due respect, sir, it's my company.
And you know I never interfere on a company level.
I'd transfer out of here if you did.
Oh, I'm sure you would. It isn't easy, is it, Lee?
Much more of this. I'll be looking for a good fight myself.
Enforced inactivity. The bane of the cavalry.
That and the salt pork diet. Two more of my men came down with scurvy today, Major.
That's what I wanted to see you about, Lee.
Huh?
How'd you like to go on a buffalo hunt?
Buffalo hunt? I thought we couldn't
go out. I know. General orders are to avoid antagonizing the Indians by hunting buffalo in their territory.
We're sitting right in the middle of their territory.
22 cases of scurvy are enough. Higher orders are to hold Fort Laramie with a full complement of cavalry. Captain Quince, you think you can bring in some fresh meat without starting a new Indian war?
I can try, sir.
I'm dependent on you.
Yes, sir.
You'll take 15 men, 2 wagons, and 6 mules. You'll leave 1/2 hour after Reveille tomorrow morning. You'll return Saturday by sundown without fail, exactly 1 week from today. Any questions?
No, sir.
I hope you'll see fit to include those two men, Soothe and Plover, in your party.
I intend to, sir, as skinners.
And move out.
Hey, Soothe, how you feel?
Not so good, Plover. I'm bleeding again.
We're most to the fort. Here, see the man? They're standing around waiting on us.
That's what the captain said. Saturday by sundown, we made it.
Yeah, some of us made it.
Eight of us.
8 out of 15. 7 men killed.
We done all right.
Reckon so. Hey, looky, there's Major Daggett. He's waiting too, you see him?
No. I can't see so good, Plover. My head hurts bad. Everything's kind of swimmy.
You ain't gonna pass out now, are you?
The way you got me roped onto this saddle wouldn't matter none if I did pass out.
Well, there's other boys hurt worse than you.
I ain't complaining.
Vince up ahead there, he passed out. Got him tied belly down across his saddle.
Then I reckon he's dead.
We're here, Soothe. We're back.
I can't see nothing but the fort. Oh, my head hurts awful.
Patrol, halt!
Corporal Mercer, you'll remain with the wounded. They'll stay mounted. Sergeant Gorse, take a detail from the garrison to help these men down, get them to the hospital.
Yes, sir.
Rest of you stable the horses. Patrol dismissed. Mr.
Sergeant
Seibert.
Gorse.
Yes, sir. Would you take my horse to the stable for me?
Certainly, Captain.
I'd better report to the major there.
Yes, sir.
If you'd care to, come by my quarters later. I'll find us a drink.
Thank you, sir.
Captain Quince reporting, sir.
You're not hurt, Lee.
No, sir.
Good. What happened?
Cheyenne. Over 100 braves hit us. Dawn 2 days ago. I had a guard posted, but they rode right over them. 7 troopers killed in battle. Another died in his saddle about noon today. Wagons, mules lost.
I sent a scout looking for you.
He never found us. What is it, Major? Cheyenne jumped the reservation?
Yeah. And nobody knows why. They slipped out in the middle of the night and disappeared.
I can't figure it. Big Wolf's been as peaceful a chief as I've known.
Big Wolf's young son died a couple of weeks ago. Maybe that got him started.
I think I'll ride out to the reservation tomorrow. Take a look around.
What for?
No particular reason, Major. Just curious.
Captain, I don't think them Cheyenne left a single thing out here.
Yeah, they sure stripped the place, Gorse.
I guess when you ain't got much, you don't leave nothing behind at all.
Nope.
Captain, all them poles over there with the burying platforms on them.
What about them?
They're all new, Captain. I mean, they're empty. There's no corpses laying on them.
Can't be new. They must have taken their dead with them, Sergeant. I don't understand it.
That ain't like them. Why would they do that?
They were in quite a hurry.
What do you mean?
Look at that grave over there. It's half torn down.
Yeah. Kind of spooky out here, ain't it?
Yeah. Well, we'll stop in town on the way back, Sergeant.
Now you're making this detail worthwhile, Captain.
Yeah, I got some business at the post office.
Post office?
But I'll meet you at the saloon when I'm through.
I'll be there, Captain. You can depend on me. Of course, we don't make much money, but... Well, soldiering's an honorable profession. It's better than being a... thief, ain't it?
I hope I'm not intruding, Sergeant Gorse.
Captain?
Captain Quince, this here's Ella Braden.
How do you do, Ella?
Pleased to meet you, Captain. Won't you sit down?
Oh, thanks.
I've been trying to explain to Ella that soldiers are just as good as civilians.
I never said they weren't, Sergeant.
Sergeant Gorse has been in the cavalry 20 years, Ella. He's still trying to figure out why.
I think you're right, Captain. It's all he talks about.
Now, that ain't so.
I mean, when you're being a gentleman, Sergeant.
Oh.
You know what he did a couple of weeks ago, Captain?
Now, Ella.
What'd he do, Ella?
Well, he... Nah, I'm too much of a lady to say it.
Thank goodness for that, anyway.
Ella, if Gorse gets out of line, just you whack him with a bottle. It's the only kind of language he understands sometimes.
Oh, I got something better to whack him with, Captain. It's carved from solid bone.
What?
Yeah, I got it in this sack. Brought it in to show to the barkeep.
Now, what in the world is that, Ella?
Let me see that.
It's an Indian souvenir of some kind.
Where'd you get this, Ella?
A kid at the fort gave it to me. He found it somewhere, I guess.
Who gave it to you?
His name's Suthi.
Suthi.
Well, what's wrong, Captain?
This is a Cheyenne totem, Ella. I'm gonna have to keep it.
Oh, here, now that's mine. You give it back.
Sorry, Ella. You'll have to find another souvenir. This one's caused enough trouble.
Morning, Captain Quince.
Lieutenant Mather, I want to see Private Suthi. Where's his bed?
At the far end, Captain. There, where Sergeant Gorse is.
Thank you.
Captain?
Gorse? Hello, Suthi.
Captain Quince. How are you, sir?
How are you feeling, Suthi?
Oh, pretty good, Captain. Except for my head aching all the time.
You'll get over it.
I better. I can't stand it this way, sir. I wish they'd killed me if I got to go on like this.
Suthi, you seen this before?
I don't know, Captain. What is it?
You know what it is. Where'd you get it?
I can't help you, Captain. I'm sorry, maybe later sometime.
Now look here, Suthi. You know I won't take an answer like
Captain
that.
Captain Quince.
What is it, Sergeant?
Would you step over here a minute, sir?
All right. What do you want?
Oh, my head. I wish you'd stop aching.
Oh, I see. All right, Sergeant.
Aches all the time.
Well, Suthi, I won't bother you anymore. I know all I need to anyway.
I don't know what you're talking about, Captain.
I ought to hate you, Suthi. But I only feel sorry for you. What you've done, I'm going to try to set right. But whether I can or not, you're going to have to live with it the rest of your life. I think I'm speaking for a lot of good men who died because of you. Sergeant!
Yes, sir?
Meet you at the main gate in half an hour. Have our horses saddled and packed with 2 days' rations. Move out.
I find this hard to believe, Captain.
Major Daggett, I've always tried to think of every trooper in my company as a real soldier. Somehow it makes me feel less of one myself when I find out about a man like Private Suthi.
I can understand that, Captain Quince. I sympathize with you.
Yes, sir.
But what you propose to do about it is nothing short of suicide. I can't allow that.
I'm meeting Sergeant Gorse at the main gate in a few minutes, Major. I'm volunteering for this mission. He goes with me, he'll have to volunteer, too.
Big Wolf and his Cheyenne are a mission for the entire 2nd Cavalry, Captain. Not for two men only.
It was me those Cheyenne warriors hit, Major. It was my men I watched die. This mission belongs to B Company. To me. Not to the 2nd Cavalry.
You're putting a terrible responsibility on me, Captain Quince.
As a volunteer? I don't see how, Major.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you, sir.
Lee.
Yes, sir?
I'll give you one order. You're to return to Fort Laramie within 2 weeks, without fail.
More coffee, Gores?
I could sure use it.
It's hot.
I can see that. Thanks, Captain.
This is better than garrison, isn't it, Sergeant?
Oh, it sure is. Night's full of stars. We had a good dinner of pork and chickpeas. Coffee's hot. There's plenty of it. Got a big fire going here, lots of wood. There's nothing wrong with this, Captain. Except for one little thing, maybe.
What's that, Sergeant?
Oh, it's hardly worth mentioning.
Oh, go ahead. Speak up.
Well, from all the sign we've seen today, I'd guess we're smack in the middle of about 4 Cheyenne war parties.
You know, I think you're right, Sergeant.
Of course, I don't know for sure, but with this bonfire we got going, I got a sneaky idea them engines just might catch on to our being here sooner or later.
They might. Sorry you came along, Sergeant.
I volunteered. Interesting mission, you said.
Yeah. I also said we might get killed, didn't I?
You didn't say how.
I don't know how, Sergeant.
I'll bet I could tell you.
Not interested. We get killed, this mission will be a failure.
Now, say I hadn't thought of that. Now, that'd be a doggone shame, wouldn't it, Captain?
It would.
I can just see all them generals back in Washington sitting around a big shiny table saying that darn fool captain, that darn fool sergeant couldn't accomplish a simple little old mission. What's the cavalry coming to? That's what they'll be saying.
throw some wood on the fire, Gorse. You're closest.
Sure. Captain Quince?
Yeah?
They're here. All around us.
Step back to the fire. Real slow.
If they can see anything at all, they can see we ain't armed.
They wouldn't show themselves this close if they didn't know that.
They're coming in, Captain.
Stand steady, Sergeant. No sudden movements.
It's sure some fine way for the cavalry to go engine hunting.
We found them, didn't we?
What happens now?
That's not entirely up to us, Sergeant. Easy now.
Sure.
Zi la ho, di na yi.
Yi alo, zilo.
Di ish, la yi nya.
Yi aize uva.
What's he saying?
He says he'll take us to Big Wolf, all right. He says the chief wouldn't want to miss the torture before they kill us. You wake, Gorse?
Who could do any sleeping tied up like this?
It'll be dawn soon.
I just ain't looking forward to it today, Captain.
At least we'll get out of this teepee.
You know, this is the first time I was ever inside one. I ain't missed a thing.
Well, I don't know. A teepee can be pretty nice when you got a fire going and a buffalo robe to wrap up in.
Maybe some antelope steak for breakfast, a jug of spring water, maybe a woman to do all the work.
Well, you're spoiled, Gorse. Rotten spoiled.
Well, it ain't the frontier life, did it, Captain? I can tell you that. You
never should have left home. He says they're ready for us, Sergeant.
What was that?
Big Wolf hasn't returned. They've decided not to wait for him.
But, Captain...
He was our only chance. I could have talked to Big Wolf. Not these other warriors. Not even worth trying. He's going to cut us loose.
Why not? With a 500 braves out there, we ain't going no place.
They can tie a man up awful tight.
I ain't even sure I can walk.
Ailea Azo.
Huh? Let's go, Sergeant.
Sure.
Sergeant.
What is it?
Big Wolf. He's back.
Thank heaven for that.
Well, it's a chance, at least.
There he is. Say, he looks like a chief, don't he?
Yeah, he does.
Captain Quince.
Hello, Big Wolf.
My people are ready for your death.
I know. We allowed ourselves to be captured, Big Wolf.
This I do not understand.
I wanted to see you. I wanted to bring you something.
White soldier has brought shame and dishonor to my people and to me.
You're speaking of your son's grave.
White soldier come at night, left my son's body on ground.
Yes. And he stole this from your son's grave.
The totem. Totem of my clan.
The white soldier did this to dishonor you, Big Wolf.
Cheyenne, recover honor in war and by killing you.
Let me say something first, Big Wolf. It was neither of us did this thing. It was a soldier who was weak and foolish and bad. This soldier has dishonored me as well as you. We do not want war with your people.
Who is soldier?
His name is Suthi.
Give him to me.
No, I can't do that.
Then you must die.
You have already killed 8 soldiers, Big Wolf. Soon many soldiers will come. More soldiers than you have braves.
Give me Suthi.
So you can punish him?
He must be punished. He must die.
Big Wolf. When you wake in the morning and step outside your lodge, what do you see? Tell me.
I see the sun on the land, morning shadows, bright mountains.
And if you could not see all this?
It would not be good.
The white soldier, Suthi, has already been punished, Big Wolf.
By you. It is not enough.
No, not by me. By your warriors in the fight. He is blind, Big Wolf.
Blind?
Blind for the rest of his life. His punishment will never stop.
You are brave men to come here with the totem.
There must be no war between our people.
The thing is done. 7 of my warriors died in fight. It is enough.
We ride back in peace?
Yes.
Then we've won, Big Wolf. We've both won.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by John Meston, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Sam Edwards, Harry Bartell, Jack Moyles, Jack Crucian, Howard Culver, and Vivi Janis.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. The time to fight heart disease is now, before another victim is hurt. Obviously, heart researchers may not find the cures and preventatives to all heart ailments the moment you contribute to the heart fund. But the sooner you do your part, the closer they'll come to answering the mysteries of the heart. Send your contributions to Heart, care of your local postmaster. That's Heart, H-E-A-R-T, Heart, care of your local postmaster.
Concluding program for today's Grand Hour was Fort Laramie, Episode 5, titled Boredom, with an original air date of the 19th of February, 1956. The show only lasted one season. It was produced by Norman McDonough and noted for its authenticity and vernacular vocabulary, everything, sound effects. Raymond Burr would go on to star in Perry Mason in 1957. At the top of the hour, we played Gangbusters by Phillips Lord, a production by him. And the only thing to note about that is the colloquial expression Gangbusters is derived from this show. My name is Arthur, and you've been listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Thanks for listening.
In between.